Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Good afternoon. This is Ms. Sugar on Faith-Based Purpose. Today our topic is going to be, first of all, I'd like to welcome you, the listeners, to Faith-Based Purpose again. And today is Benevolent Offering. What is it used for? The subtopics today are, who should the church help? If they are to help anyone, should the money be repaid? Now, those questions, what we are asking is, in general, what should the church help its members? Should the church help the community? And if so, should the ones that it helps, should they repay the money once they get it to the church? Also, we're also going to ask a question today, which is a little bit, two questions that's going to be a little bit off. One is, what is the difference between heaven and the New Jerusalem? What is the difference between heaven and the New Jerusalem? Also, what is meant by it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven? We've all heard that. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Exactly what does that mean according to Scripture? We have Reverend Williams on the line. And Reverend Williams, thank you for joining us.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Amen.
I am so sorry. Were you able to hear me, Reverend Williams?
Yes, I have. I said good evening, everybody.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you could hear me.
Okay.
All right. So you heard the topics that we're going to be discussing?
Yes. I heard the topics and that we're discussing. Okay.
Okay. So you were able to I'm trying to understand, were you able to hear everything I just said?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. Okay, we're going to just go ahead and get into it. The first topic is the benevolent offering. And what is the purpose of the benevolent offering? And what is it? Yeah, what is the purpose of the benevolent offering? And we do know that most churches do, collect a benevolent offering.
Right. The benevolent offering. It's sort of like in the book of Acts over in chapter 4, verse 35. That's what the benevolent is.
Okay,
Acts
4:35?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It started talking about when the people sold land and they brought it, and it says, and they laid down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had needed.
Okay.
And it says, and it goes on to say, and the church was without want.
Okay, now did you want us to start reading from 35 to what?
We can start at verses 34.
Okay.
You can really start at 33, and it says, "And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection."
Okay, to what? I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but tell us where you want us to go from and to, so we can keep up with you.
Okay, we're going to start in chapter 4.
Got that.
Okay.
Good deal.
And let's start at verse 32. Verse 32. So we can get the full idea of what we're talking about. Okay?
Okay, we're going from 32 to where?
To 35, okay? And it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the..."
Are you there? Okay, for some reason I'm not hearing anything. Reverend Williams, are you there? Reverend Williams?
Yes, you hear me now?
I apologize. I'm so sorry. This has been a hectic day, and I was trying to bring Evangelist Williams on the line, but I muted you instead, and I do apologize for that. Yes, Evangelist Williams, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Okay. We're discussing the benevolent offers. And I hope everyone is well today, because it seems as though everybody's kind of, myself included, has had one of those days. But we want to try to keep it in the spirit, as you know, as we should, for the listeners' sake. I'm sure everyone understands that everybody have those days where things are just out of sort for them, but we do want to kind of keep it as much, you know, basically, but if we can. Evangelist Williams,
yes.
Reverend Williams was sharing with us Acts 4, 32 through 35.
Okay, I got the scripture, then I was muted out.
I was trying to bring you on, and I muted him, and... Okay, we're here. We're all together
okay.
Now. Okay, Reverend Williams, I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I was at verse 34 when I got cut off, but let's just go to 34 and then into 35, okay, and take it from there. But it says, "And neither was there any among them that lacked it. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had needed." Okay? And that there was brought to my attention yesterday. A preacher had showed me that. And the thing is that that's what the benevolent was. It didn't say take it all outside the church into the community, giving money to the community. No, it was saying that everybody in the house of the Lord, that's what the benevolent was for. It was for the members of the church, because they sold their land and they brought it and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And when they laid it at their feet, the apostle distributed And they didn't just give it away because somebody come up there yelling about they need some help. Okay? They said every man got it according as he had needed. And so one thing we have to remember, we do benevolence. And I don't want to get into tithes, but that's separate from tithes. Benevolence is giving, and the giving comes from the heart. Because if you read down further in the first chapter 5, you'll find that there were two people. One was stingy, and the other one backed him up, and they both died from their stinginess. And that's what the benevolent is. And so it's not a thing of where we think that every time the neighborhood or folks off the street come flying in that we supposed to go in our pockets and start issuing out because they hollering and yelling.
Okay, so
go ahead.
So you're saying that the benevolence is for its church member?
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay. Okay. Evangelist William, do you agree, or have you found another passage that's in contradiction to that?
No, you all have to excuse my voice because I preached yesterday, so I hardly have any. That's why I wasn't hardly saying anything. I just got the topic, and I'm not tired, but I just got the topic. And I didn't, our church doesn't do benevolence. All of the needs are met in our church through our tithes and our offerings, because the Word of God says that you bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And that wasn't talking about chicken and turkey. It was talking about the needs. And this is a good scripture that Reverend Williams has shared in Acts. And in the fifth chapter, we was talking about the Sapphira and Ananias, a husband and wife, sold properties, and they fell dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost, not because they were stingy and wasn't gonna give nobody nothing, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. And I understood him to say that the offerings are given from the heart, and we don't have to come to the church. Even the people who are members of a church, they don't have to just come to their church, because we find people go. Members of one church, and they go to other folks' church, and churches bless them. But if there is a need, if there is a need in the house of God, I feel like charity, the Bible says charity begins at home and spreads abroad. I do agree and feel like that the needs of the church membership should be met before distributions are made. And we know that God blesses a cheerful giver, but we need to make sure that that the members of the Bible also says that a man that doesn't take care of his own house is worse than infidel. And I feel like that's just not only talking about a husband and wife family. That's talking about the house of God too. I think the needs of the saints membership should be met, and things not taken from them and spread it out in the community, because take a lot of people, they thrive off handouts. Sometimes there's not a need and they still go from church to church getting stuff. And they don't need it. It's gotten so bad that the pastors want you to either be a member or you don't get nothing. Or you have to sit through the whole service and go back in the office and be counseled and show all of your bills and all that kind of stuff before they give it to you, because people have just know that you can go to church and get money. And they just have made a plumb mockery out of it.
Okay. All right. You know, I saw somewhere that it says that there is a policy, that the church has a policy for the benevolence, for what it is to be used for and how it's to be used. Because from what it says is that that's because the person that's receiving the benevolence do not, they don't get to file taxes on it. You know, like when you pay your tithes, you can file taxes on
you
it.
Can,
but
yeah.
Right, so it's supposed to be a policy that each church that, you know, accepts benevolence offers is supposed to use half of that. Now, the next question is part two of that is, does this member, since we have decided that it is the member that we're supposed to, that the benevolence goes to, okay, and I understand what you said, Evangelist Williams, and I know how Evangelist Williams, ever since I've known her, their church, you know, they do what they know they need to do when it needs to be done.
Amen.
So we'll leave it at that. when it's given, should it be repaid, Reverend Williams?
No. There is no scripture for that. Well, there's close to one when Jesus went in the temple and started beating the people out of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about, you make my Father's house a den of thieves. And the thing is, it's only in today's times the churches have set that thing that members have to pay back. Or if you're not a tither, you don't get it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No such thing. When we look at the book of Acts, you know, and I had one more scripture we were talking about in Sunday school, and the one thing is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 4 and beginning at verse 8 through 11, the one thing it was talking about, how you have love for one another in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That everything starts in the house first. It talks about, above all things, have fervent charity. That means have encouraging charity. That's
mm-hmm.
love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. This is talking about church. This ain't talking about outside. And it says, use hospitality one to another.
Right.
Without grudge. And the Bible lets us know that, first off, charity begins at home first.
That's right.
If you can't take care of one another,
mm-hmm.
if I can't take care of my house, if I can't take care of me and my wife can't look after each other, how are you going to go out there and look after somebody else?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
That's thrown off. So God wants us to understand that, first off, the house has to look after each other. You got to show love toward each other.
That's right.
Then you can show love on the outside. But love ain't throwing money in their hand. It's that if somebody's in need, you going out, find them some clothes or find them some food or bringing them some. The one thing we have to understand, God made us good stewards. He made us to be stewards over his property, over his
right.
stuff. And now every church has to order the way they do things. And in today's time, they do ask folks to pay. They ask them, when can you pay it back? You know. But nowhere in the Bible it tells anybody they're supposed to bring it back. But now, if you stand up there and say, can I get this from you, I'll pay it back, then you do to pay it back,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are holding to the promise that you have made,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so the one thing about it, the church does things a little bit out of biblical terms. Because nowhere Jesus showed or God showed that anybody in need, and in the book, especially the book of Acts, it didn't say, and they gave as they needed, and they have to pay it back. No. That's so, you know, is that giving is giving. It ain't saying you borrow. It's saying you're giving.
Okay.
That's what God's kingdom is about.
Okay. May I ask, what version of the Bible are you reading from, Reverend Williams?
King James.
King James, not the New King James?
No, regular King James.
Okay. And you, Evangelist Williams?
I have King James, and I have New International Revised.
Okay.
He's reading from the King James.
Yeah, and I have the NIV also.
Right, I have the NIV too. Okay, now, I agree. If the Bible says give, it doesn't require repay, because the Lord is going to reward us. That's repay.
Amen.
For what we do, for whatsoever good thing we do, God is going to reward us. And I think it's a very ill thing. And the Bible also said, know them that labor among you. So
mm-hmm.
This is a scripture that we don't know these people out in the streets. And we have blessed so many people that wasn't a part of even the body of Christ. And they take the monies and go buy things, other things with it,
mm-hmm.
and lie. So I think that if we're going to be good stewards over what God has blessed us with, we have to ask questions. And I totally agree that if somebody say, my baby need diapers, it's better for you to go to the store and buy a case of diapers. Then you
okay.
give them $35 or $40 and they go buy drugs with it, and the baby still doesn't have any diapers. But now in Ephesians 4:28, it talks about give to him who has need. And
mm-hmm.
I totally agree. We don't need to talk about a payment plan. Because
mm-hmm.
if you want to borrow some money, you can go to the bank or to the loan company. If you don't have money to suffice your needs as it is, then how are you going to have money to meet your needs and pay back what you've gotten from me? That doesn't make any sense. But like Reverend Williams said, if I come and say, Miss Sugar, would you loan me $100?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to loan it to you with
mm-hmm.
expecting you to pay it back, because that's what you said. The Bible
okay.
says we have what we say. So if we
okay.
want somebody to give us something, we
mm-hmm.
present the need and we ask them, can
mm-hmm.
you bless me? Or can
mm-hmm.
you, you know, not loan. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I need something, don't have any money, it's no use in me borrowing none if I can't pay it back. How am I going to
mm-hmm.
pay it back and pay whatever I already owe? So I just walk up to
right.
you and say, would you give me $100?
Okay. Okay. Now,
it's another scripture. It's
okay,
another scripture. Give, not expecting for anything
mm-hmm.
in return. And that's the
okay.
one I was trying to find. It's in
okay.
the Word. We
okay.
shouldn't even, when people come with a need, we shouldn't even give them anything expecting them to pay it back to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that my daddy used to say. I call him my daddy. You know who I'm talking about, Sonny Crooks.
Mm-hmm.
He would always say, don't ever loan, he said, when you loan somebody money, expect not to get it back. if you can't expect to lose it, don't give it to them.
Yeah.
And he would always say that. You know, and that makes sense. Evangelist Williams, and Reverend Williams, either of you explain Zechariah 7:9. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother.
Zechariah 7:9.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here.
Can you find it?
Okay. I'm trying to do something here.
Okay.
I don't know if I can get ready to go hurt some shit. Sister, you don't have to put me on mute.
Put you on mute? Okay.
Just about 5.
Okay. All right. Zechariah 7:9. And then when Reverend Williams come back, he can have something to say on it. Okay.
Okay.
Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. Now,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the household of faith. I don't think it's just talking about your natural brother.
Right.
You know, like
because
some of us.
You know, was doing research for benevolence, that was one of the
mm-hmm.
scriptures that came up.
Right, right. Okay, and see, we don't, some churches, if you ask for $5, they'll give you $5. Our church tried to, if you're in a bind, Most of the time people will ask for just what they need. We try to make sure that the need is met and that you have a little extra, a little more than what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Because where he was sharing in the book of Acts, having all things in common is a very hard thing among God's people. It shouldn't be, but it is. Because
right.
if you have a $350,000 house and I have a $50,000 house, your mindset would be that we are not equal. But in God's sight, what we've got to remember, I don't care how much you have or how
mm-hmm.
little you have, he loves us equally so.
Mm-hmm.
And if our heart is pure towards God, he's going to meet the person in the $50,000 house just like he'll meet the one in the $350,000 house.
Okay.
And you know that
right.
just, you know, we kind of separate things like this in our mind. When it
okay.
comes to a person who has a need, we want to think in our mindset that they are poor or that they don't, why are they in this shape?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? You know, we think this. You know, I always have my money. Why don't they have theirs?
Mm-hmm.
Or they've done something wrong, the reason why they're not blessed. A lot of times people go through things because it's a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's a test. And if you think that it's not, if you read the book of Job from chapter 1 through 42, you'll know, because he was the richest man in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And that test was, I mean, every inch of him was tested. So a
okay.
lot of times it's not, you know, it's not why a person doesn't have, and they need to depend on the system or to an extent, or they need to borrow or they need to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times this, a lot of things we go through is a test. It's
okay.
a test.
Okay. Reverend Williams, you agree?
Yes. And also, looking at that, when I looked up the word benevolent, now understand, benevolent ain't just money now.
Right.
And we looking at money, but it says benevolent, doing or inclined to do good, kind
yes.
and charitable, characterized by or resulting from benevolence. And so benevolent can extend the house. It can also extend in the neighborhood, as we were saying, is that
yes.
if a person needs some diapers, okay, hey, let's go to the store and get us some diapers.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
And now, also, understand now, if the church is inclined to help somebody financially that's outside the church,
mm-hmm.
God put it on their heart. It's not for us to say, no, you don't.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Because now understanding that Jesus said when that scripture over in the book of Luke talked about in verse 38 in chapter 6, press give and it shall be given unto you, good
right.
measures pressed down, shaken
yeah.
together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we have to look at benevolence as nothing but a charity of love. And if it don't come from the heart, and it come grudging, it ain't done you no good.
Right.
Okay.
You just done broke the church for a while or whatever you engaged.
Right. And I was going to bring in the word love, but it cannot be administered without love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And nothing can. Okay. Amen.
And that's a wonderful way to put it.
Yeah, it can't be, because you know, if I need something of you, and I come to you, I don't even want to take it if you don't have a smile on your face.
Hmm.
You know, some of us meet people up with the way we look. If you're going to help me, give it cheerfully. Give it
yeah.
cheerfully. And this is how we lose a lot of people.
Mm.
Sometimes the church looks like booger bears in the face when they think somebody's coming for help. And I think that is just awful. I think it's awful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Before you move, but I just wanted to give one good testimony. It was like last week when the maid came and came to clean up our house. Well, the doctor took me off all this stuff, and so I had a cabinet full of canned goods, and I brought them out, and food and everything, and canned and all that, and I asked if she had children. She said, yeah, and I brought all the canned goods out, and I said, do y'all eat? She goes, yeah. And when I got through, it was like the lady had sacks like she went to the grocery store.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And I even offered her a little cart that I had that you could take this out and push it all out and bring it back when you get through. You know.
Yes.
The next time you come. Not that day, but the next time you come. She goes, no, I'm all right. I said, you sure? She said, yeah. And I just felt good because why? When you can bless somebody,
right,
you're going to feel good.
Right.
You know, a grudgingly person. And that's going to be a part of your next question. That's leading to your next one of your next questions. We can't be grudging in what we do. It's got to be nothing but pure being love.
That's right.
Amen.
All right.
That's right.
Well, the next question actually was, we've discussed those issues, and I'm going to switch these last two around. I'm going to ask now, what does it mean when it's said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven? Exactly what does that mean?
We just talked about it. We just talked. You want to start, Minister, or you want me?
You can start it.
Okay. If everybody go to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 25.
Okay.
That's where you find that scripture. That's why. Am I in the right, please? I take that back. Yeah.
That's
25.
It.
That's it. You're in the right. You're right.
But now. The whole thing of it, in order for everybody to get to understand, is at the top it begins to talk about when Jesus told a young man to go sell what he had and share it.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to talk about the things that he had from since he was at birth. And he was so sorrowful, okay, that he didn't want to sell nothing that he had in order for the kingdom of heaven to be blessed. And he wanted, in other words, in order, in those days, in order for a camel, if you ever look at a camel knees is real rough.
Right.
And so in Jerusalem, the gate was so low that the camel had, in order for him to get into the city, he had to go down on his knees.
Right.
In order to get into the city. And so the thing is, it is a parable, it is an analogy Jesus is showing that for a rich man, it's not saying a rich man can't make it there, but a rich man that wants to hold on to what he has, the treasure, is that he's not humble enough to go down, to give up. Because the camel, if he wanted to get in that city, he had to get on his knees.
And that was almost impossible.
What'd you say, Minister?
That was almost impossible for him to do it.
And so a rich man, if he got his mind, it's impossible for him to go down and to give up his pride, his life, his all that he has.
His riches, yeah.
His riches. That's why Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And see, in the kingdom is going to be almost to your next question. Get into Jerusalem. The camel had to get down on his knees to get in there. He don't have to stand outside the gate until the master come back.
Right.
But don't you want to join the master to get inside the place? So if I want to be with the master, I got to get on my knees. Give up what I have, you see, and humble myself. so that I can be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first. Give no thought for your life. Okay? I'm going to leave some more for the minister. I don't want to take too much
okay.
away from
him. I agree. You know, and Jesus didn't need the rich man's riches. But it's required to be willing to give it up. It's required. It's mandated. It's mandated that you be willing. He don't need it. But he needs you to know whether you'll be willing to give it up. Because Jesus already knew that he was going to go away sorrowful. And just like you said, you're not willing to do it. Then guess what? You just chose your destiny. Because we got to be willing to do it. That's why I said, you know, if we don't give with a smile on our face, or, you know, you mentioned giving grudgingly. You got your face all wrinkled up. I don't want it. No, thank you. You keep it. But we've got to be willing to give it up. When he sees that your heart is willing to let it all go, you can keep it. You can keep it.
Evangelist Williams, you say you'd rather just do without.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I just really don't want it. I will not accept it. No, ma'am.
And the thing
we
is,
give
Jesus
all the time, and we just be grinning when we give it because it's a part of our salvation. It's a part of the walk with God that we have. We love it. We love it. And we have a church full of cheerful givers.
Amen. All right. And if I can just step in a little, it's not that Jesus was telling the man to give away all of it.
That's exactly
he was just trying to let the man know where his
That's
heart
exactly
was
right.
with that. It's like the widow's mite. The widow's mite only had one coin.
What?
That's all she had to her name. But she was willing to give it up for the kingdom.
That's right. She made it in before all those other ones that had a truckload of money. You know.
Come on. And so the only thing God is saying is, when he said give no thought, don't worry about what you got.
Right.
You know, when I say we want to walk around the table, we want to keep, we got $10. Well, I'm going to give them this too because I need this other egg to get me some chicken and soda. And so, but God is saying, when we were talking about the book of Acts, they sold property. Them people sold their property. And it says, and they gave the cost of it and laid it at the disciples' feet.
That's right. At the apostles' feet. That's right.
And people didn't understand. They were rich. They had money. So they wasn't worried about how much, like rich folks do, always scheme and trying to take something. Worried about what they're going to lose or what they're going to get. Even a little bit as short as man in the Bible named Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus.
Put up a sycamore tree, and Jesus said, I'm going to stand with you. He was so glad to have Jesus at his house. He said, everything I did to get rich, he stole from people. He cheated people. He said, I'm going to give it that 10%.
That's right. That's right. That's the scripture.
And so God is just saying, are you willing?
That's right.
To let go what's in your heart.
That's it.
I learned so much from you too, I tell you. I really enjoy these.
Yeah.
Their occupation was fishing. They just dropped everything.
That's right.
I'm a man they ain't never seen in that life. Come on. So I'm good.
You good off. Now?
I'm good now.
All right.
I'm good.
Well,
we
have
to be willing.
Say that again, Evangelist Williams.
I said we really have to be willing because, see, God knows our heart. We can't see each other's heart. We can see our appearance. But we have to be willing to give it up. We do have to be willing to give it up because there's one thing for sure. If you miss heaven and go to hell, you're not going to be able to spend nothing in hell. Not even to buy no water.
Amen.
So,
you might need a little water, huh?
No.
I just look for them people that sound. I just love them people that say, "Whatever I can do for you, just call me." I love to call them. Because God knows our heart.
Well, you know what? It's not always that. It's always you should have called me. You should have let me know. Why you didn't call me? Well, when I was talking to you and I was telling you what was going on and you talked over it like you didn't hear me, I was calling you then. You know, so, yeah. We're going to move on from that before we have a whole different show. Now, here's what is the difference between heaven and the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem, what is the difference?
I guess I'll let the minister go first on this
one. Well, I was going to let you go first. I'll tell you what.
Here's something that I found.
And the reason I asked this question was because I was listening to another talk show, and they were talking about the New Jerusalem. You know, everybody's going to the New Jerusalem. And I looked it up, and I saw in Revelation 21st.
New Jerusalem.
Okay.
From
And 2. Well, actually, I guess 21st, 1 through 4. But the second verse mentions both heaven and Jerusalem.
Okay. All right. You working it now, sister. Okay. All right. You found it. That was 21. Right?
1 through 4.
Verses 1 through 4.
Okay. Now, I saw a whole. Okay. And then if you go down to 10, it's going to say, I saw the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
That's in verse 2. That's verse 2.
It's also
like
10.
In verse 10.
It's
yeah,
also
but,
in 10. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it is in 2. That's, and that, yeah. So what does that, and I guess for the listeners, because we do have some listeners on the line that may not have their Bible there with them, the 21st chapter starting at verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, from the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, S-S-E-A. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we need to read on? Well, we can stop there. And do you have an explanation, a discussion for us, Reverend Williams?
Let me get.
I'm looking. I'm using the text. I'm letting the Holy Spirit use me here, and I'm also looking at some. Some commentary here also.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking here. It says, first off, and I saw a holy city, right? New Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we know that Jerusalem back in the day was a city, right? And it says, coming down from God out of who? Heaven. Right? Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Now, it's showing me two separate entities out of that. A city coming out of heaven. In other words, Jesus always said the Son of Man, and which means he was, when he says Son of Man, he was talking about King David, because he came out of the lineage of David. And Jerusalem was under David, the king. Now, he was born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, right? So when he said a new Jerusalem, now we're looking at a better than what David had built. Okay? You're looking at a better kingdom coming out of heaven, because now that kingdom is getting ready to come down to earth. Okay? It says there was a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? And so it's two separate entities. But that Jerusalem is still coming from heaven. It's still coming from where God dwells. And now he's bringing that new city down here on earth where it once was. But it's a whole different type of city. And it's a city where there's no evil, because in the old Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem that was here that David had, you had everything in there. You had good and evil, didn't you? But now in this one, it's coming out from that which is good, which is God. And that Jerusalem is coming down, because John say, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he says a holy city. A holy city means that's a righteous place. Okay? And they are two separate entities. It's like where it says, where Jesus says, I go and build a place for you in my Father's house. In the kingdom of heaven, there are many mansions. I go to build a place for you. So you had a mansion in heaven, and okay, as we would say, you had a house in a house. And so here you say a new Jerusalem. Then you had heaven. So if you got heaven, you got Jerusalem. That's two different things. I mean, when I last checked, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, so you're looking at two different things here. Okay.
Okay.
And so, go ahead.
Well, I guess, Evangelist William, do you want to say something before I ask this question?
Well, I was just reading. What Reverend Williams is saying is true. And I was just reading under my explanation. And just let me read just a little bit of it, because he was explaining it. I don't know whether he was reading it out now, but he was explaining it very well. Okay. The present heaven and the earth, including the sea, was burned up in the great white throne, which was judgment, and thus have passed away. Before the arrival of the new heaven and earth, the fact that there will be a continuous of some features of the present creation in the new heaven and earth. It is implied by the description of the new Jerusalem as the holy city, a title that is applied to the present Jerusalem, and that's in 11:2. Yet the drastic difference in the new eternal state is obvious from the fact that there will be no more sea, which is a major part of the original creation. It is impossible to tell whether the new Jerusalem was set on the new earth, since all three references, and this is what he was saying, to it describes the holy city coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, is essentially the image of God's people, and more specifically Christ's church, are prepared for the marriage of the Lamb. Her husband refers again to Christ, the Lamb, but the bride is the new Jerusalem. According to verse 9 and 10, Christ's bride is the redeemed inhabitants of the holy city. It's talking about after sin has been cleansed. And to me, I kind of like, don't care where it be as long as I dwell there. You know, because it's coming down from heaven. So the earth where we is, and this is the way our pastor explained it years ago, where we're living now, after all the sin, everything is burned off, then we'll be caught up. But then we're going to come back and dwell in a sinless new holy city. Like you just said, everything is here now. But after it's all burnt off, that's why water won't do it the second time. The fire's going to purify it.
Yeah. And that sea that it's talking about, it ain't talking about rivers. It ain't talking about water.
Right.
It's talking about, if you look in Genesis, it says, and the sea gave up the sea. In other words, those fouls that's up there, that atmosphere.
Right.
It plays a part in our lives, and that ain't going to be there no more. That's a separation there. And he said the sea gave up the sea. So in other words, the sea is going to be, there's going to be no more sea.
Right.
Heaven is going to come down, and it's going to be like a portal that we be able to go between heaven and earth. In other words, it's looking at, now let's look at the metaphor here. It ain't just talking about just a city. It's talking about a people a city is like when we say I'm going to the city of Houston. You're going to visit the people that's there.
Right.
And so it's a whole new set of people at Jerusalem. Heaven is a whole set of the angels, all that host. And so the thing is, you're going to see a new Jerusalem, new set of people. Because as minister was just getting ready to get into it, and she was, I wish she would have went a little bit more, was talking about at the supper table, she was talking, began to start talking about the saved, all them after judgment has been passed upon the earth.
Right.
Now you're getting ready to see that nothing but the grace and the kindness of God moving on a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, old things passed away. All that bad stuff is gone. It's going to be a new set of people. It's going to be a whole new set of beings. And that's the only thing it's talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. It says the believer's rebirth through faith in Christ bring newness to that person's life. But it is only the eternal state that God will make all things new. The new people is going to be the sinless generation. That's us that make it through all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can you agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the ones who've gone on, even if we go on when the end comes, he going to bring us back to dwell in the new city of Jerusalem, right? That's going to be us. Where we going to be at? When he gets through with us, we're going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the reborn generation.
Amen. And that's what it is. That's why I say we are new creatures.
Right.
You see, in Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
And
just think about it. In Genesis, that was that God. Okay. Then you had David come along and build Jerusalem. And who come in there? You had everything under the sun.
Right.
From the good to the bad. And I was just reading that this week, talking about Jesus saying, let the wheat and the tares, he was telling the parable about the wheat and the tares. And he was saying the wheat was grown, the man grew the wheat, and then here come all of a sudden the tares came. Here comes Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But Satan ain't even getting ready to be in this one.
That's it. That is it.
Amen.
We won't have to worry about him no more.
Does that help everybody? I hope so. I hope we help.
Well,
everybody.
It helped me, and I really enjoyed hearing about that because you know, just some things I don't know, and when I don't know, I ask because I like to learn, and it will probably come up again because it appears to be a topic that a lot of people may not ask about and don't know. So, you know, I do like to cover those kind of things, too, because sometimes people don't like to let you know what they don't know.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with it.
Me
if I don't know,
right.
I just don't know.
I just told you, I'm just feeling my way and let the Spirit lead you.
Well, I appreciate both of you, you know, giving your knowledge on that. What we're going to do now is I'm going to take a couple of minutes and go over some of our upcoming topics, and then I'm going to let each of you give your, you know, your information.
Okay.
And we have topics I guess I should talk to you individually before we go on with this. I know Reverend Williams have expressed an interest in doing the show more than once a week. So I do have a show scheduled for Thursday. And if someone cannot make it, then, you know, we'll understand that. And the reason I push for more than once a week is because the sponsorship package it should get its money's worth. You know what I'm saying? It should be more than once a week in order to get the money's worth out of it. Now, if we need to change the time, I don't have a problem with that. We can change the time. We can do it on a Saturday morning if anybody wants to, or we can do it anytime. You know, just just kind of get with me and let me know. But we do have one for Thursday, and we're going to cover a couple of things that in this one that we've, I think it's in this one. But the topic is, what does it mean to be a Christian? That's the main topic. And what are some of the sacrifices one must make as a Christian? Also, if God accepts and loves all according to his graces, how far should we go for each other? Number three is, first of all, this is a two-part. Is it the word of God that once you receive Christ, the blood has cleansed you and you are now righteous? Okay? And if that's true, can a reborn person ever be condemned again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's Thursday. Okay? Just kind of go over some of the, you know, just some of them briefly. And then we'll be out of here. No, we're not talking about any of that today. Thank you very much.
I'm not.
So just and don't call me trying to talk about it. Okay, the next one for next Monday is, oh, my goodness, is sin consciousness. And what does it mean? Sin consciousness. And what does it mean?
Oh, sin consciousness.
Right. Explain the goodness of, excuse me? Are you there?
I say all.
Okay.
I'm here. It all sounds so good.
Explain this phrase. The goodness of God will bring a man to repentance. The goodness of God will bring a man to repentance. Okay. Then we'll also discuss Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14.
2 and what now again?
11 through 14.
I'm quite sure you're going to have it in email or text. The topic.
Yeah, it's already posted. Everything is already posted. Way ahead of time.
All right.
All right. That was that one. Let's see. Sin consciousness. I think we have one more. Okay, here we go. I know Evangelist Williams is going to have fun with this one. And this is going to be a long one, so I hope we can get Minister Cook and Minister Bobby on the call. Minister Jordan just hung up. He was listening in. And
okay.
We have Sister Regina listening in. She said she just wanted to listen in today, and she didn't want to say anything. So hello to both of you. Now, the last one is going to be, did Jesus, let me see, here we go. The main question is, enemies of the cross, and what were they? I know Evangelist Williams going to have fun with this one. Did Jesus, enemies of the cross.
Okay.
Did Jesus die that we might be delivered? These are all in parts. And if so, what were we to be delivered from? Then we're going to go back to something that we covered before, speaking of the law. Are we led by the law or by the Spirit? Okay. If the word is true, and we know that, you know, we're not questioning if the word is true, but this is the question. If the word is true, but if Jesus came so we might live, yet if the word is true that Jesus came so that we might live a sin-free life, and we believe that he came to save us, are we undoing what Jesus came to do if we continue to live by the law? Okay, Reverend Williams, I'm going to say it again. I know you're getting ready to tell me. Say that again. You see
no,
how good I'm getting
well,
it?
Well, yeah,
okay, well, he's not fixing the answer, so he might well just hold his breath. If we truly believe that Jesus holds the key to death, hell, and the grave, are those
okay.
born of Christ still under the law? Same questions, pretty much just asked different ways. We're going to discuss Romans 10 and 4.
Oh, we got some homework out of this.
Second Corinthians 3:7-12. 2 Corinthians 3:7-12. How does this relate to our assignment today under the law?
Hmm.
And
well,
this question.
Huh? Everybody asking the same thing. Okay, I got.
Yeah, it might be. It's just going to be a discussion. It's just going to be a discussion. But I can just hear Evangelist Williams talking about the enemies of the cross. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting.
I'm just waiting. Monday, right?
No.
Monday, right?
Yeah, these are next Monday. Is it next Monday or next? Let me see what's the date on here.
Monday. I have
May the 30th.
Okay.
That's May the 30th. That's because that Monday is the 29th, I think, isn't it? That's Labor Day.
No, May the 30th is on a Thursday.
No, the 28th is Memorial Day.
Okay, so that's Thursday. That's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
May the 30th.
May the 30th.
Now, this coming Thursday is May the 23rd.
Okay, we have one for that day, too.
Okay.
Memorial Day.
We're booked all the way up to the 30th. We have them already out there up to the 30th, so we'll have plenty of time to prepare and just.
Okay, now,
let's see, the
Thursday.
27th is Memorial Day.
Is it?
That's Monday.
That's
27th
Monday.
Is on a Monday.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's next Monday.
30th is on a Thursday.
Right. Okay, now,
right.
This Thursday, I will be speaking at a women's conference in Dallas at New Birth Fellowship Church. Pastor Oliver is the pastor. Now,
we can wait till Friday or something like that.
Well, she has
kids
church
on
Friday.
If we can do it, yeah, I'll be at a women's conference Friday and Saturday. Thursday at New Birth in Dallas, and Friday and Saturday at Higher Marks on Winnery Road in Dallas. So, but if we have the show at 5:30, I can be on.
Okay, now
if they won't inconvenience, or maybe 6.
Okay, let me see.
I'll be getting dressed to go because we're gonna start at 7:30.
Okay, let me see if it'll let me change that. I can tell you right now. In the meantime, while I'm checking to see if we can change it to 6 o'clock Thursday. See, I have the other show Wednesday. I don't think I have one Thursday. 6 o'clock Thursday.
What about Wednesday?
Well, Wednesday is Bible
study. Church, Bible study.
Yeah.
We're gonna figure out something here in a minute.
I could be on. But I'm going to be driving, so I don't know. I can be discussing. I can't be reading or doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you,
no, we
you
don't
can't
want
change
you doing
it, leave it for 6:30. And I can, because Reverend Williams can start the rolling. I can really help him push it.
Okay,
we can do that, or we can change, you say Thursday at. Okay, now you said Thursday at 6 o'clock, though?
You said
5:30. You said 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30,
right.
6. I'm an hour away. And so I need to be leaving out of my house at 6:30. I can already be dressed, and I can just sit down. But if you can change it, leave it like it is, because while I'm traveling, I can still be talking. The word is hitting my heart. I don't have to be reading it, because if Reverend Williams will read the scripture, I can help him talk about it. Okay.
Leave it
like it is. I can still call
him. I'm just thinking about your health. I don't want you to get no wreck out there trying.
Oh, no. Oh, I'll be excited, all right. But I'll keep my eyes open.
Okay, well, it let me change it to 5:30.
Okay.
So 5:30 is good.
Okay.
That's good. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this segment. So for anybody who's listening, they can always go back to the page from today's show and hear the upcoming topics and know what we're going to be discussing in weeks to come. Now, Evangelist Williams, give us your contact information, church information,
okay,
and any events.
All right, I'm Evangelist Patricia Williams, The Savings Place Holiness Church, 1618 Exeter in Dallas, Texas. My pastor and husband is Elder James Williams, Jr. On this Thursday night, I will be speaking in a women's conference at 7:30 at the New Birth Fellowship Church, where Pastor Ald is the pastor. And if anybody, you know, is in the area, you would love to come. I would just love to have you there. And Friday at 9, and then again Friday night at 7, I'm helping to host this. I will not be speaking, but we will be on Wintergreen Road at the Higher Marks Church. And this is a women's conference. Destined for Change Ministries is sponsoring it, and I'm one of the co-sponsors. And on Saturday morning, we will conclude it from 10 till about 1. And we will have guest speakers from, you know, Fort Worth area. And that's Destined for Change Ministries. Pastor Atkinson is the pastor there. But Pastor Geneva Alexander, it's an event for her church. So that's all in the Dallas area. My phone number, if anybody needs to contact me, is 972-493-1953. And if you can't come, please pray for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Reverend Williams?
Yes. I am the associate minister at the Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston. We are located at 3741 Colvin Street, Houston, Texas, 77013. Our phone number there at the church is 713-673-3032. Or you can reach me at 979-525-8533 if you want to talk about anything or share the word of God or just want some help being led to Christ. I'm willing to talk at any time. And also, our pastor is Reverend J.D. Dinkins. He's the pastor of Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church. We're a growing church. We're a Bible study teaching church. And we teach and we preach and we walk by the word of God. And I extend to you the invitation to come out and fellowship with you, with us, if you're ever in the area. If somebody don't have a church home, come by and visit and see how you like it. If you need a church home and you don't want to join us, come by. We'll share with you, and we can show you many churches around the city of Houston that can fit your need. But we just invite you to come hear the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Williams,
yes,
I want you to, if you don't mind, to be sure and help me get the word out there in Dallas about the gospel concert that Jimmy Spivey, J. Spivey Productions, is putting on September the 14th.
Is that Friendship West?
That's it, Friendship West Baptist Church on 2020 West Wheatland Road.
Yeah, Wheatland Road. We have flyers, and it's all over the radios and everywhere. That's one of the largest events every year. I was there last year. I don't know whether I will be able to go this year because I'm in conferences back to back.
Okay.
Three. But we will definitely help spread the news. And I think that everybody looks forward every year, you know, And, I mean, our tickets was $40, and it was packed.
So you got the VIP package.
Okay. No, our tickets, the VIP is $50, okay?
Well, now they're $45 now.
They're $45? Oh, well, it's
VIP, well, the pre-sale tickets are $25. The day of the show, they're going to be $35, and the VIP tickets are $45.
Okay. Well, do you know who's hosting it this year?
Yes, Pastor Kim Burrell.
Okay, Kim Burrell. Okay. Last year, my godson did.
Oh, okay.
Carlos Daniels.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah. Leandria Johnson, Shirley Caesar, Kathy Taylor in the favor, Tamala Mann, and Pastor Kim Burrell is going
to
be
the host.
Are you
going to try to come this year?
I will be at the one in Huntsville the 15th. I will definitely be there now because on that one, David Mann is going to be the host. And you know I'm going to see Mr. Brown.
Okay. Just go right here.
So, yeah, I'm going to see Mr. Brown. So he will be the host on that one. Now, he will not be hosting the one in Dallas, but he will be, you know, in attendance there.
Okay.
So he will be there. And the number to get the pre-sale tickets is 877-291-1918.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, I do appreciate you both, and we will see you all Thursday at 5:30.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
And everyone have a blessed evening. And do we want to close the show with a prayer?
We can always.
Always, okay. Evangelist Williams?
Yes.
I think Reverend Williams did it last time, so...
All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift these, your precious people, up right now. And we thank you, God, for this radio talk show. Thank you, God, for every listener. Thank you for the participants. Lord, we just ask you to bless these, your precious people.
Yes.
Meet every need according to that of your riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you for it. We pray your guidance and protection over your people, God. You bless us and you meet our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Have a good
All right. God bless y'all, too.
All right. Have a blessed week.
is a very funny man.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussions.